Today we're going to learn one paragraph of Prima Gadim. That's our goal. One paragraph of Prima Gadim. Psicha Kolelas, as I mentioned the other day, is about 12 pages long, and they've published a three-volume sefer, I think so far three volumes, I don't think they're done yet, elaborating on the Psicha Kolelas. And you can see why once you do this one little paragraph. Rabbi Klapholz, I meant to ask you, do we have the expanded version of the Psicha Kolelas of the Prima Gadim?
We had one volume.
We have, I appreciate it, thank you. So the first paragraph, don't drive yourself crazy, just if you see it. That first paragraph of the Psicha Kolelas goes through the nafkaminas between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Meaning, we have a Gemara Maseches Gittin. Let's start from the beginning. How do we get to all this? We're learning Kiddushin. We're not learning Gittin. We're not learning Stam in Yonim of Torah Shebal Peh. So how do we get to all this? Okay. So the Gemara had this. I have it at home also. Okay. The Gemara had this expression that Milsa Dasi b'Kal v'Chomer Tarach v'Kasav l'Kra. That's something that we can derive from a Kal v'Chomer. Sometimes the pasuk will say it anyway, even though we could have derived from a Kal v'Chomer. Which begs the question: why? Why would the Torah say it anyway if I could have derived from a Kal v'Chomer? Let it be derived from a Kal v'Chomer. Doesn't a Kal v'Chomer make a Din d'Oraisa also? So in what way is it upgraded when Tarach v'Kasav l'Kra? Why is it changed in any way when it's not a Kal v'Chomer but it's actually a pasuk? So in order to deal with that issue, we started discussing that maybe the difference is that if you derive something from a Kal v'Chomer, it's Torah Shebal Peh. If it's Torah v'Kasav l'Kra, if the Torah actually says it, then it's Torah Shebichsav. And there might be differences between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. But then we pointed out that it's not so pashut that which is derived from a Kal v'Chomer is necessarily Torah Shebal Peh. It might in fact be Torah Shebichsav. The question is how you define what's Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. That which is explicit in Chumash, you know, the Torah says, "Lekachtem lechem b'yom rishon pri eitz hadar," whatever. That's clearly the Torah is telling me, do this mitzvah. Torah tells me, you should eat matzah. That's explicit in the Chumash. That's clearly Torah Shebichsav. What's clearly Torah Shebal Peh? What would be an obvious example of Torah Shebal Peh? So, what? And hear what he said. I would have said that, but we'll see now. We'll see in a moment. That's not an obvious example, Torah Shebal Peh, because that's based in Chumash. Those are words in Chumash. Chamisha Asar, Chamisha Asar. The Torah Shebal Peh makes the link between them, but that might count as Torah Shebichsav because it's based on words in Chumash. Where do we have halachos d'oraisa that aren't even based in any words in Chumash? Halachos d'oraisa, good trivia. Halachos d'oraisa, not even based in any words in Chumash. Halach l'Moshe Misinai. The only example of definite Torah Shebal Peh where there's no debate, you can't question it, is Halach l'Moshe Misinai. Halach l'Moshe Misinai is Torah Shebal Peh. The question is, what about things learned out from the Yugdim L'Midah Shatur and the Drash is bad? That's debatable. In what way is it debatable? Well, we have this Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach, where the Gemara in Gittin has a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, whether Rov Torah is Torah Shebichsav or Rov Torah is Torah Shebal Peh. And everyone struggles with the obvious problem. The Psich Kolelis points out after he quotes that Gemara that the what does he say over here? Ubeber Sheva Dav Chesam and Beis Kosav Eich Yitachenze Dalaruba Balpeh. How could you possibly say that Rov Torah Torah Shabbosav? Of course it's Rov Balpeh. Especially Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says. Who was it? Rabbi Lazar says Rov Torah Bichsav, and Rabbi Yochanan says Rov Balpeh. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Rubo Balpeh, right? Yeah, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, the Prima Gadim says. Legabe Rav Lozer ben Pedas, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So apparently we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, like the Rebbe instead of the Talmud. And Halacha Talmud Makom Arad. That's a different issue in Halacha. When you have a Talmud arguing on a Rebbe, when do you say Ein Halacha Talmud B'Makom Arad, that you can't paskin like Talmud against his Rebbe? And when do you say Hilchasa Kibasra'a, that you paskin like the later generation? Which would mean Dafka like Talmud against the Rebbe. So that's a discussion, not for now. But the idea that it's even debatable that someone would say that there's more Torah Shebichsav than there is Torah Shebal Peh, how could you say such a thing? So says the Prima Gadin, and says Rashi really on the spot of Maseches Gittin, how you could say such a thing? Very simple. You could say such a thing if you classify anything that's derived from Yudgul Mitzvah Torah and Drash Ben as Torah Shebichsav. So then you could say Rove of Torah, Torah Shebichsav. Because most of Torah are things that we derive from the Yudgul Mitzvah Torah and Drash Ben, which would mean Tesvav, Chamishas, Chamishas, so that is a Kzeira Shava is one of the Yidgum Lidush HaTorah Nidrash Ben. So if you classify that as Torah Shebichsav, then yeah, most of the Torah will be Torah Shebichsav. But L'may Nafkamina, whether a particular halacha is Torah Shebal Peh or Torah Shebichsav. So Prima Gadim suggests the following six Nafkaminas plus one. Why don't I just say seven? Because in that first paragraph there are six. Then a few paragraphs later, he adds another one. So the following nafkaminas. First nafkamina, he doesn't quote on his own. He doesn't say on his own. He quotes from the Sefer Be'er Sheva. And he writes as follows. V'nafkamina li'inyin horu beizdin bedavar shatstukin modimbo di'im safek nezel basaruba. Those are all his words for the first nafkamina. Now you could read that probably 10 times, 20 times, you'll have no idea what he's talking about. You really need to know a little bit of background to understand what he's talking about. So let's do some background. Again, what were his words? Nafkamina linyan horu beizdin bedavar shatstukin modimbo. Horu beizdin. What does horu beizdin mean? Beizdin issues psak halacha. So what? That's their job. They're supposed to issue psak halacha. What's the problem? There is a mesechta in Shas called Meseches Horios. What's Meseches Horios about? You ever have to make a quick siyum? People are fooled into thinking that Horios is the best way to do it. It's hard. It's only 13 blot, but it's hard. So what's Meseches Horios about? Horu Beizdin. Beizdin makes a psak, and they're wrong. And you follow the psak of the Beizdin, and you're not the only one. Everyone follows the psak of the Beizdin. They're the Beizdin. I'm a good guy. I listen to what the Gedol, the Moed says Gedolei HaTorah, you know, the original one, the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. Comes out with a psak. I'm going to say, they're wrong, I'm not going to listen. Why do I know? I thought that I'm supposed to wear tefillin every day. They say, no, I don't know. I thought of my chumash, it says you're supposed to. Okay, it's a bad example. But whatever the, you know, they gave some sort of psak. So what's the halacha in that case? So if I do something wrong, I do an aveira, I eat a food that is really chelev, it's really forbidden food, it's really nevela. So and I did something wrong. So I'm gonna have to deal with it privately. I'm gonna bring my own carbon chatas, right, for violating my yisur. But if Beis Din made this psak halacha, and Rov HaTzibur follows the psak halacha of the Beis Din, so then the responsibility doesn't fall on the yachid. The responsibility is on the Beis Din to bring what's called the par helam davar shel tzibur for shigigas hora'a. They made a mistake in their hora'ah. They gave a psak, it was the wrong psak. Everyone followed the wrong psak. Instead of making each and every individual who listened to them bring a carbon, the Beis Din brings a carbon parallel and davar shel tzibur on behalf of the entire tzibur who they caused to sin through their psak. This is an interesting sugya at the beginning of Masechet Chagiga, where the Gemara says, what if you have the following? What if you have a guy? When Beis Din issued their psak, and the kolkoris were hung all over town, and it was all over Facebook, you know, Beis Din just issued this psak, you're allowed to do this, did you know, it just became kosher, you know, anytime something that you thought wasn't kosher becomes kosher, they say, I remember when Oreos became kosher, oh my god, Oreos are kosher, so all the people, you know, who were eating them anyway were able to eat them in public, and all the people who, you know, who weren't eating them anyway were buying them, and it was like a big deal, Oreos are kosher, so it was, then they realized, like, the Pashkas cookies are just as good, but, okay, fine, so it was, you know, when M&M's, oh, that was like huge. When M&M's became kosher, it was very, very exciting. Did you ever have an experience like that in your lifetimes?
Gatorade.
Right, okay. So imagine, Beis Din comes out with a psak, this thing is kosher. So everyone, but there's one guy that says, it's not true. I know it's not true. I've been in the, you know, the Beis Din says that, you know, that this brand of beef jerky is kosher. You're like, no, I know, I've been there. I've been in their factory, and it's pig meat. I know it's not true. I know that they're wrong. Their horah is incorrect. Oh, no, they say it's dried, so it's fine. But I know that there's no such halacha. It's roi lachila. I know that they're wrong. I know that they're wrong about this psak. So he does, but he says, I know that they're wrong, but I'm not the Beis Din. I'm not the Sanhedrin. They're the Sanhedrin. They're the Gedolei Yisrael. So who am I? I'm an anav. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna take on the whole Sanhedrin. If they say I'm allowed to eat it, it's on them. So I'm gonna eat it because they said I'm allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara. such a person is chayiv to bring korban chatas, because he wasn't blindly following what the Sanhedrin said. He knew that they were wrong, and he went and he did an avera anyway. So he's chayiv korban chatas. So the Gemara says that's crazy. Has a kasha on it. If you were asking kasha, what would your kasha be on that? Well, what would your angle be? That he should be chayiv more or less than a korban chatas? What would you think logically? This guy followed the Sanhedrin. He thought they were wrong, but he followed them anyway. The Gemara says he's chayiv a chatas. So you would think what? I mean, either he's amazed or he's nothing. So I probably would have gone with the nothing. I probably would have said, you know, like, Sanhedrin HaGadol says something. Really, we're going to hold some guy accountable because he thought differently than them? I would think that if I, you know, that if a group of Gedolei Yisrael issued a Psak Halacha, I'm not talking about, like, you know, some political statement. Psak halacha. From the greatest poskim who spent all day dealing with this. And I thought differently than them. I would think it's very noble to follow their psak halacha. And it's very innocent. But that's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says like you're saying. Gemara says, how could he only be chayv chatas? Hamezid who? He's doing this b'mezid. He knows that they're wrong, and he's eating the beef jerky anyway. He's amazed. So Gemara says, no, he was a shogeg. You know why? Because he thought that you're supposed to listen to the Sanhedrin even when they make a mistake. He knew that they were mistaken, but he thought that the halacha is that you follow them even when they make a mistake. You know the famous Rashi? Al yamin shu smol, val smol shu yamin? He thought that literally meant that when you know that they're in error, you're supposed to follow them. It's not what it means, by the way. Rav Shach said there used to be a professor in Yeshiva University that taught English literature. And one of the books that he was teaching, I forgot which book it was, he said, this is mamish what Rashi says in Chumash al Yamin, Shu Smol Val Smol Shu Yamin. He said he didn't know the Rashi in Chumash. It may have been Pshat in the book that he was teaching, but it's not Pshat in Rashi in Chumash. Al Yamin Shu Smol Val Smol Shu Yamin means, doesn't mean that if you know something is right and they tell you it's left, you should follow them. It means that if misvara pshuta, without any intellectual analysis in terms of, you know, like approaching it like a professional scholar, you would have thought that this is left, and they're telling you no from Das Torah. By Das Torah, I don't mean the political Das Torah. I mean from a Torah perspective when you analyze this sugya. You know, misvara pshuta, let's say a person grows up in the 21st century America, so he says, a value that we hold of is egalitarianism. That's a very great value in 21st century America, right? So misvara pshuta, it's only fair that women should count toward a minyan. Misvara pshuta. But no, the Das Torah is not that way. So even though, if your code of morals and ethics that you would have thought intuitively, you would have thought that it should be one way, but the Chum say, no, Torah tells us otherwise, then you have to listen to the Torah. But if you're a Talmud Chacham who's learning Torah and viewing things through a Torah perspective, and the halachic analysis says, this chaylev is usur, you're not allowed to eat it. And the Sanhedrin tells you, don't worry, it's okay. You're not allowed to eat it. Al yamin shu smol val smol shu yamin doesn't mean that. In fact, the Yerushalmi in Chagiga has such a lashon where it says, because the halacha is, you listen to divrei chachamim, al yamin shu hu yamin val smol shu smol. A little bit of a difference there, no? When do you listen to the Chachamim? When they tell you al yamin shu yamin val smol shu smol. But not when they tell you al yamin shu smol val smol shu yamin. You do not listen to them when they tell you the wrong thing. And you know that they're telling you the wrong thing. So that's where this guy was shogeg. He thought you're supposed to listen to them even when they're wrong. But that's not the halacha. You're not supposed to listen to them when they're wrong.
How can you think that you know better than
the Sanhedrin? Oh, that's a good question. Right, that's why I would have thought that you did the right thing. You know, you're listening to Sanhedrin, you're just being humble. That's a good question. But anyway, going back to Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur. So it's a Shigigas Hora'ah. Bezin issues a Hora'ah. Sanhedrin issues a Hora'ah. That's an error. What is a Hora'ah? What does the word mean? It comes up in other areas of halacha also, not just about Sanhedrin. It comes up just about Nazeh. Talmud al Yora Elim Kei Natal Rishos Meirabo. Gemara Sanhedrin says, you're not allowed to give a psak halacha, right? It means psak. You're not allowed to give a psak halacha unless you have permission from your Rebbe. That's what we call smicha. Not allowed to issue psak halacha unless your Rebbe gives you permission. You're not allowed to give a hurrah when you're drunk. Shasrevi is yayin al yara. You're not allowed to give a hurrah b'makom rabo. Your Rebbe's there. You're not allowed to give a hurrah. So I go to Yeshiva University on Wednesday afternoons this year. A lot of times I'll be sitting there in the Beis Medrash. Rav Shachter's sitting in the Beis Medrash. But people don't want to bother him because he's Rav Shachter. Some people don't want to bother him. So people will come over to me. They'll say, I have a shayla. So am I never ever allowed to answer a shayla? Can't be more of a makom rabba. I teach in the Davis Reynolds Stahl Yeshiva High School for Boys. My Rebbe happens to be the menahel of this yeshiva. So if a Talmud asks me a shayla, am I not allowed to issue a hora? Am I not allowed to pask in the shayla? What's the definition of hora? So imagine, I remember I was once in a shul where there was a rabbi and there was a rabbi emeritus. And the someone came over to the rabbi emeritus and asked the shayla. And he said, ask the rabbi. I'm not the rabbi anymore. So I said to him, you know, you were the rabbi here for 30 years. He said, yeah, but out of respect to the rabbi, it's his job. So I said, really? Even if someone asks you like a pashut question, you wouldn't pask him? He said, maybe if someone asked me, someone told me they were contemplating murder, I would tell them there's such a thing as lil sirtach. So is that a hurrah? Someone comes over to you, thinking about murdering someone today. Is it mutter? You allowed to do that? I can't say. Rabbi Kamenetsky's here. I can't say. Go ask him. You're not allowed to say los yirtzach. So what's a ra'ah? Guy doesn't know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah called matzah. When he comes to you on Pesach, I remember there's some food you're supposed to eat today. There's some kind of unique food. Yeah, it's matzah. I'm not allowed to say that. It's a ra'ah. Whatever is mefurish in the Torah is clearly not a hurrah. Hurrah is not what's mefurish b'kra. It's clearly not a hurrah. The question is, how do we define what taki is a hurrah? So the Gemara says, very simple. Anything that stukin modimbo, anything that the stukim agree to, is not a hurrah. But anything that even the stukim would not agree to, is a hurrah. What does that mean? Who are the stukim? What do they agree to? So the Tzedukim were the people who had a very literal interpretation of Torah. Had a very literal interpretation. So they agreed to that which was Mefurish B'kra. So if someone asks you, I'm contemplating murder, can I do it or not? A shayla, am I allowed to murder? You're allowed to say, even if your Rebbe's there, or even if you don't have smicha, you're allowed to say, shteit in Torah, lo sirtzach. Good. It's not a hurrah. No problem. Sanhedrin issues such a hurrah, it's not a hurrah at all. There's no parallel davar shel tzibur. It doesn't qualify as hurrah. Says the Be'er Sheva. The Tzedukim literally, they just read the Chumash literally. What about makish havaya liyatsiya? The Gemara is a hakish. V'yatsa v'haisa, you get divorced, you get married. So we're makish havaya liyatsiya. From there we learn kiddush eshtar. The Tzedukim don't think that the fact that it says divorce and marriage in consecutive words means something. Now, it's not explicit in the Torah that it means Kiddush Eshtar, but come on, I mean, the words divorce and marriage are back to back to each other in the Torah. The Tzedukim must have... Are the Tzedukim not molded to anything in all of Torah Sh'bal Peh? So, says the Be'er Sheva, that the drushos that are not mefurish in the Torah, like a hekish, it could be that Tzedukim are moda, it could be that they're not moda. And it's hard to know whether it's begeder Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh. Maybe a hekish is Torah Shebichsav, and a gzeir shav is Torah Shebal Peh. like we talked about yesterday, you don't know. You don't know which of the Yidgim Amidos. So what if you're Mesupak? You're Mesupak. I don't know. I don't have it Stuki. If I'm, you know, you Google, you know, Stuki school, you know, try to find a school of Tzedukim, you'll call the dean and you'll ask, do you guys teach about, you know, you can't find it Stuki. You're out of local Tzedukim to consult. So you have no idea whether this is a Davishat Stuki Modim. So is it a Hora'a? So what do you do when you have a Safek? Well, if it's 50-50, you follow certain rules of Safek. But if it's like 90%, 10%, Holchemacher Rov, you'd follow the Rov. I'm not sure if this is Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh. If it's Torah Shebichsav, it would not be called a Hora'a. If it's Torah Shebalpeh, it would be called a Hora'a. This is a gray area. It's a Hekish. Somewhere in between, I'm not sure. If you're passing like Rabbi Lazar, that Rov Torah is Torah Shebichsav, you have to work with the assumption if it's Torah Shebichsav. If you pass like Rabbi Yochanan, Rov Torah is Torah Shebal Peh, you have to work with the assumption that it's Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore it is called a Hora. You see what the Prima Gadim did?
One line.
What did he say? V'nafkamina le'inyan horu beizdin bidavar shat stukin modim ba. The nafkamina in this machlokas, whether Rov Torah is Torah Shebichsav or Rov Torah is Torah Shebal Peh, is if Beis Din paskens about something that the Tzedukim may be modeh to. Di'im Safek, if you're not sure if this is something that Tzedukim are modeh to or not, Nezel Basaruba, follow the majority. If you hold Rov Torah's Torah Shebal Peh, assume that the Tzedukim are not modeh to this. If you hold Rov Torah's Torah Shebichsav, assume that Tzedukim are modeh to this. Now you see how a 12-page thing could turn into a 3-volume sefer. Well, that's one line. That's one line. Incredible, no? Another nafkamina. Prima Gadim says that nafkamina. Yeah.
Is it a thing for like a rebbe to like allow like his talmud to pass while he's around?
Yes. Meaning a rebbe can be mochel. Pashas rebbe can be mochel. Now the Prima Gadim himself says, after quoting that nafkamina, he says, "Veli ha'ani nirashiyish kam nafkaminas ladina." He says, you know, that's just one nafkamina of the Be'er Sheva, because I think there's a whole bunch of others. So I'll try to do the good ones. Right? First, simple ones, and then good ones. I mean, they're all good, and they're all simple. Okay, so let's take same Gemara Gittin Daf Samach. There's another halacha about Torah Shebal Peh. Maran Gittin Daf Samach says Torah Shebal Peh, it's usher to write. Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to say Bal Peh. You ever see people darshaning with the Chumash, you know, from Chumash, and when they quote Pesukim, they want to look inside. Some people are makbid to look inside for Pesukim. Why? Because they're trying to be Yotzei, that Gemara, what that Gemara says. That Torah Shebichsav, you're not supposed to say Bal Peh. And you're not supposed to write Torah Shebal Peh. Aye, what do we do about all this? So, Esas Hashem Eferu Sorasecha, we realized that the Torah Shebal Peh was not going to be transmitted properly without writing it down, so we were allowed to violate that halacha in order to save the Torah, in order to save our Mesorah. But it's technically speaking, it's halacha, which is a big mechayev on Mechabrei Sfarim. People who write Sfarim have to realize what's their heter to write a sefer. The heter is because Torah can't exist without writing Sfarim. So you really have to feel like you're contributing something. If you're just repackaging stuff that other people already wrote, and, you know, it's just a way to put your name on the map or something like that. Chassam Sofer, I think, writes like this in his introduction to his Tshuvas. You can't just, like, you know, flippantly say, yeah, I might as well just publish another one. You have to be careful, because it could be a violation. It's only Eisas Hashem Eferu Sorasecha. It's only if this is something that's going to add something to the Torah world. So Chavetz Chaim was so careful about that. Everyone else would write Chidushim on Shas and Shalos and Tshuvas, you know, like the basic Svarim, Perish and Chumash. Chavetz Chaim only wrote Svarim that, like, no one else was writing. You know, halachas being in the army, you know, like laws of Lashon Hara, Mishabura, like these are things that no one else was writing. Anyway, nafkamina, whether Yud Gimel Midos or Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh, or you let her write them down. Can you write down halachos that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midos or Torah Shebichsav? If the Yud Gimel Midos or Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebichsav, then yeah, you're allowed to write them down, even though it's not actually chumash. It's not actually in the chumash. You're not just writing pesukim. We're used to thinking Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to write, you're not allowed to say bal peh, means that you're not allowed to say pesukim bal peh. It says Prima Gadol, no, maybe it means anything that we would classify as Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to say bal peh. So you shouldn't be allowed to say gzera shava bal peh. You shouldn't be allowed to say hekish bal peh. Unbelievable chumrah. But if you hold that which is derived from the Yud Gimel Midos is Torah Shebal Peh, then you wouldn't be allowed to write. You wouldn't be allowed to write it, but you would be allowed to say Bal Peh. So that's nafkamina number two. That's a more straightforward nafkamina, more simple, straightforward nafkamina. Let me give you another one. There's something called the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Let's take something that's classic Torah Shebal Peh. That's an obvious Torah Shebal Peh. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is clearly Torah Shebal Peh. No one would say Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Torah Shebichsav. But Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, just to give a little background, is a little bit trickier than that. There are two types of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Not every Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is the same. Reb Chaim writes, there's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's Halacha Mefareshes, and there's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's Halacha Mechadeshes. What does that mean? Mefareshes, Mechadeshes. So we'll take an example that comes up in Maseches Kiddushin. Gemara Maseches Kiddushin talks about Orlas Chutz La'aretz. What's Orla? So Orla also means two things. Orla can mean foreskin. That's not what we're talking about now. Or Orla can mean fruits that grow in the first 3 years after you plant a tree. Orla, that kind of Orla, is Asar Ba'anah. You're not allowed to get any Anah from those fruits. And what happens in the fourth year? Fruits that grow in the fourth year? It's Revai. Revai is treated like Maaseh Sheni, you're allowed to eat it, but only in Yerushalayim. Good? Does Arla apply in Chutz La'aretz? Well, open up your Chumash. What does it say in Chumash? Does Arla apply in Chutz La'aretz? Well, the Pasuk says, Ki Savo'u El Ha'aretz. When you go into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to plant trees, this is going to be the dip. Okay. So I would say Arla does not apply in Chutz La'aretz if I was just reading Chumash. Comes along the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, quoting Kiddush and Daf Lamed Ches. Arla's Chutz La'aretz Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There is Arla in Chutz La'aretz, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So let me ask you something. Is there Revai in Chutz La'aretz? Mishnah says there's Arla in Chutz La'aretz, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What about the fourth year stuff? Is there a dinner of Revai in Chutz La'aretz? That the fourth year produce you have to bring to your shlaim and eat only there? Machlokes Rishon. If you look in Perik Yud, Vilchus Machlokes Asuros, Machlokas Rambam and the Gaon. What are they arguing about exactly? Whether there's Revai Chutz La'aretz. So here's what happens. The Torah says, Ki Savo El Aretz, Yav Adin of Arla. Ki Savo El Aretz could mean two things. It could mean that all the dinim we're about to learn only apply in Eretz Yisrael. What else could it mean? What does Ki mean? Ki Savo El Aretz. When? When is not a place? When is a time? So what might Kisavo El Aretz mean? Right. Once the Jewish people enter Israel, Arla kicks in global. The Dinim of Arla kick in everywhere. What's the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai telling me? When the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai tells me there's Din of Arla in Chutz La'aretz. Is the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai telling me that the words Ki Savo El Haaretz mean when you go into Eretz Yisrael, that's when Arla applies everywhere, but it's that same Din of Arla? How do I know there's Arla in Chutz La'aretz? Because it says in the Chumash. It says in the Chumash, there's Din of Arla. It's that Din in the Chumash. It's just the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is translating Ki Savo El Haaretz as meaning when and not where. It's everywhere. Ki Savo El Haaretz is just when. But the din of Arla is everywhere, according to the Torah. Or maybe no. Maybe the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is telling me that even though it says in Chumash only a din of Arla in Eretz Yisrael, Ki Savo El Haaretz is the din of Arla in Eretz Yisrael, and that's it. comes along Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and says there's also another din, midin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, not from Pesukim at all, that there's Arlan Chutz La'aretz also. L'may Nafkamina, whether the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is just being Mifaresh the Torah, that when the Torah says Kisavah Al-Aretz, it's talking about when, but the Mechayev of Arla in Kol Olam Kulo is those Pesukim, or the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is being Mechadesh, a brand new din that's not even hinted to in the Torah, called Arla's Chutz La'aretz. L'may Nafkamina? Nafkamina is there a din of Revai? If you're saying that the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is just being Mefarish what it says in Chumash, it says in Chumash, Kisavah Al-Aretz, you have Arla and you have Revai. And Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is telling me, you know what Kisavah Al-Aretz means? It means once the Jewish people enter the Holy Land, this whole parsha applies everywhere. So then, what would you say? Would Revai apply? We're taking all those words in Chumash and we're applying it everywhere. What do those words in Chumash say? Arla and Revai. Revai would apply everywhere. But if you learn, no, that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Arla, that there's Arla's Chutz La'aretz, is not being mefaresh what it says in the Torah. What it says in the Torah is just Arla's Eretz Yisrael. Kisavah La'aretz means in Israel only. No, the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is being mechadish a new din called Arla's Chutz La'aretz. Well, do we have a record anywhere of a new din called Revai Chutz La'aretz? I don't say that anywhere. It's a new din, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, called Arla's Chutz La'aretz. That's only Arla, that's not Revai. You can see two types of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There could be Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that's mefarish what it already says in the Torah, and Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that's mechadish, having no connection to the Torah. Which one of those is obviously going to be classified as Torah Shebal Peh? Undebatably be classified as Torah Shebal Peh? Mechadish. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is mechadish, something brand new that never exists in the Torah, has no connection to the Torah. That's clearly Torah Shebal Peh. But Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's mefarish? Maybe such Halacha L'Moshe Misinai might border on Torah Shebichsav. Give you another example. The Rambam writes in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Bias Migdash that if a Kohen who's an Orel does the Avodah, the other type of Orel now, Kohen who has Orla, what does it mean? Uncircumcised Kohen does the Avodah. He's Chayv Malkus for doing the Avodah. Here's the problem. How do I know that a Kohen who's an Orla is not allowed to do the Avodah? Rashi Sanhedrin Daf Pei Vav tells us Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. When you violate Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you get Malkus? No. What do you get Malkus for? What kind of Aveir does it have to be? Get Malkus. Gotta be a lav in the Torah. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is not a lav in the Torah. How could the Rambam say that a Kohen who's an Orel, who does the Avodah when he's an Orel, is Chayv Malkus? It's very strange. What's Pshat? So it could be the Pshat is as follows. The Rambam over there writes, not just that he's Chayv Malkus, the Rambam says, Deharehu kizar sha'avad. When a Kohen is an Arel, does the Avodah, it's just like a Zar doing the Avodah. What's a Zar? Non-Kohen. It's like me doing the Avodah. Yisrael going and doing the Avodah. Where does it say that a Zar is not allowed to do the Avodah? Well, that's a puzzle. That's actually also say in the Torah. That a Zar is not allowed to do the Avodah. That I understand you'd be Chayv Malkus for. Why does the Rambam say that? When a Kohen who's an Arel does the Avodah, it's like a Zar doing the Avodah. Just say that it's Aser. Why do you have to say it's like a Zar doing the Avodah? What's the Rambam drawing my attention to? What's he trying to tell me? You know what the Rambam's trying to tell me? What? Why? Good. The punishment should be the same. He gets Malkus. Why, though? You only get Malkus on the lav. You don't get Malkus on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. An Aral is just Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Is it a Halacha Mefareshes or a Halacha Mechadeshes? If you're going to learn Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that an Aral is not allowed to do the Avodah, is a Halacha that's Mechadesh Nudin! Brand new! An Aral is not allowed to do the Avodah! Mechadesh Nudin! Do you get malchus for that? No. It's halachah l'moshe misina. You don't get malchus on halachah l'moshe misina. Says the Rambam, no. This is halachah mifareshes. The Torah says a zar is not allowed to do the avodah. What is the definition of the word zar? Teich the word zar. So we're used to thinking it means someone who doesn't have kuna. But maybe it means more than that. Maybe it means someone who doesn't have complete kedushas kahuna. Someone who doesn't have the full level of kedusha of a kohen. And you know who might not have the full level of kedusha of a kohen? Someone who was born a kohen but still has an arla. He's an ara. The Rambam says the halacha l'moshe misinai. This Rav Chaim explains this Rambam. The halacha l'moshe misinai is not telling me a brand new din, an oral is not allowed to do avodah. No, it's telling me when the Torah says the zar is not allowed to do the avodah. It means even a kohen who doesn't have a bris milah, because he's also a little bit of a zar. Milah is mekadesh the kohen. Why does he get malchus? Why does he get malchus? If he does the avodah, because he's violating the Isra in the Torah of a zar not doing the avodah. I'll give you an example of halacha mefareshes. Mishnah Shabbos Tavayin Gimel lists off 39 things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You may be familiar with this. 39 melachos of Shabbos. So Mishnah lists amongst halachos of Shabbos hotza'ah. What is hotza'ah? Good. You got to know this because it's what two of the largest and hardest mesechtas and shas are primarily about. Half of Shabbos and all of Erevin is all about hotzah. Hotzah is carrying from. Say it again. Or vice versa, right? Rishis yachzah, rishis ram, or vice versa. That's hotzah. But there's another thing you skipped. What else is hotzah? No, don't think the Rabbanans. You think karmelis and other things. Within a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself, if I carry four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now, Tosos and Shabbos Dav Bey says, yeah, the carrying four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's not really from one Rosh Hashanah, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. But wait a second. If it's halacha l'moshe misinai, how do I get punished for it? Says the Ran in Shabbos, Tavayim Gimel, this is a halacha mefareshes. The din in the Torah is you're not allowed to carry merishus l'rishus, from one area to another area, from one, it's the best translation, rishus, domain to another domain, right? So rishus yach to rishus rabim, rishus rabim to rishus yach, that's easy, one domain to another domain. Says the Ran, you know why you're not allowed to carry four amos in Rosh Hashanah? Because there are certain halachos that relate to your dalet amos. Dalet amos shel adam is kona for him. Someone is within your dalet amos, you could be kona based on the fact that it's within your dalet amos. So your dalet amos take on the status of a rishus bifnei atzma. They are their own rishus. And therefore, when you carry something from within your dalet amos to outside of the dalet amos, you are carrying from a different rishus. It's not halacha l'moshe misinai. Brand new halacha. Carrying dalet amos is chayav and Shabbos also. No. This is halacha that's mefarish. The halacha l'moshe misinai is telling me you're not allowed to carry from rishus to rishus. You know how we define rishus to rishus? Even outside, from inside dalet amos to outside dalet amos. That's also called rishus to rishus. So says Prima Gadim, halacha l'moshe misinai is Torah Shebal Peh. And we see from this whole discussion, there's no onesh. There's no onesh for it. Why is there no onesh for halacha l'moshe misinai? Because it's Torah Shebal Peh. You only get an onesh on what it says in Chumash. Allah says in Chumash, you get an onesh for it. But a halacha that's mechadeshes, a brand new halacha, something that's purely Torah Shebal Peh, there would be no onesh for it. Right? We said if an RL serving in the base of English were a halacha mechadeshes, there would be no onesh. The only reason the Rambam says you get malchus is because he thinks it's halacha mefreshes. But anything that's halacha mechadeshes, it's a brand new halacha l'moshe misinai, it's purely Torah Shebal Peh, no onesh. Says Prima Gadim, I got another nafkamina now. What's a nafkamina? Whether you classify something as Torah Shebuksav or Torah Shebalpeh, can you get an onesh? You only get an onesh in Torah Shebuksav, not in Torah Shebalpeh. This is huge. Because there's a rule, ein onshin min adin. Well, wait a second. That's it? Just the kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to get an onesh based on? If you paskin that all of the Yud Gimel Midos are Torah Shebalpeh, says the Prima Gadin, you should not be able to get an onesh based on any of the Yud Gimel Midos Torah and Torah Shebalpeh. Because Torah Shebalpeh, no onesh. There's only onesh in Torah Shebuksav. He even wants to go so far as to say that whether we would say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra or Safik Darabana L'Kula may depend on this. That maybe we wouldn't say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra on things that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midos Torah and Drash Ben if we would classify them as Torah Shebal Peh. Wait a second. Things that are Torah Shebal Peh are not Daraisa, you don't say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra. So Prima Gadim says, according to some Rishonim, there is a Ramban like that. There is a Ramban that holds that a Safik Alach Al Moshe Misinai is Lakula. Why? Why would a Safik Alach Al Moshe Misinai be Lakula? Because it's a Safik on Torah Shebal Peh. And Safik Torah Shebal Peh is Lakula. According to that Ramban. So if you say that a Safik Alach Al Moshe Misinai is Lakula, you would necessarily have to. And you hold that things that are derived with Yudgum Midos are all Torah Shebal Peh. You'd have to say that a suffix on any of the Gimel Midos Torah and Drash Ben is the Kula. It's another nafkamina that Prima Gadim points out. It will do one more. One more. When you have a Kal V'Chomer, there are two ways you can reject the Kal V'Chomer. One way to reject the Kal V'Chomer is with a Yochiach. What's a yochiach? You say, like the Gemara has on, let's say, let's see where we are. We had it a few times already in this Masechta. The Gemara wants to derive from a Kal V'Chomer. No? Yeah. If an Amma Ivriya is not Niknis Babiya but could be acquired with Kesef, so an Isha who is Niknis Babiya, you should for sure be able to do Kiddusha Kesef with. Gemara wants to say that how should I learn Kiddusha Kesef? You can do Kiddusha Kesef. An Amma Ivriya cannot be acquired with Bia, but yes, with Kesef. To be Makadish Nisha with Bia works, so for sure with Kesef should work. Gemara says, no, Yavama Tochiach. Look at Yavama. Yavama you could do Bia on, but Kesef doesn't work. Yochiach means that we bring in a third case. You're trying to bring Kal V'Chomer. If A is true, then B should for sure be true. A Yochiach is, what about C? C shows you that the rule you're trying to derive is not true. That's one way to reject the Kal V'Chomer. That's a Yochiach. The other way to reject the Kal V'Chomer is make Kara D'dina Pircha. That there's a problem in the Kal V'Chomer itself. You don't need to bring in a third case. That you want to tell me whatever's true of an Amma Ivriya should be true of being Kona and Isha? No, look at Amma Ivriya. Amma Ivriya has certain chumras also. There's certain kulas and certain chumras. You can't. It's a flaw in the Kal V'Chomer itself. I don't even need an example from the outside. A simple problem in the Kal V'Chomer. There's a difference between those two types of rejections of a Kal V'Chomer. The Tosos writes in Kiddushin Dav Yiram and Beis, really based on the Sugya of Baba Kama Dav Chav Hei, there's a din called Dayo Lavam in Adin Lios Kenidon. Are you familiar with that concept, Dayo, when it comes to a Kal V'Chomer? What's the original Kal V'Chomer in the Torah? There are a few places in the Torah where Kal V'Chomer applies. Miriam is the subject of one Kal V'Chomer in the Torah. What was the Kal V'Chomer in the Torah? Miriam has to be banished for 7 days. Why? She spoke Lashon Hara Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Avio Yarak Yarak L'Befaneha. If her father would have spit in her face, she'd be banished for 7 days. So Kal V'Chomer, the Shechina. Right? Kal V'Chomer, that she did something to upset the Shechina. she should be banished for 7 days. The Shekhinah is so much more important than her father. I would have said, if she did something to upset her father, she would deserve to be banished for 7 days. So she does something to upset the Shekhinah? 14 days! Kal v'chomer should be 14 days! But we don't do that with the Kal v'chomer. We never expand beyond the limitation of that first leaving. Dayo says that the most you can learn out from is what the original din was. So you can't say, oh, for a father it's 7 days, so Kal v'chomer for the Shekhinah should be 14. No, Kal v'chomer for the Shekhinah should also be 7. Daya. That's the din of Daya. However, Gemara Baba Kama, and I don't want to get into the details because it would take us way too long, but in discussing Chatzi Nezik for Shusha Nezik, the Gemara tells us that whenever Dayo would make it that the whole Kal v'chomer would become unnecessary, by applying Dayo, you make it that the whole Kal v'chomer is unnecessary, then you don't have to worry about Dayo. Then you can still use the Kal v'chomer without the limitation of Dayo. For example, I guess you got to give an example, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. We have a Kal v'chomer that if an animal gores something in Rishus HaRabim, he's chayiv Chatzi Nezek. So we make a Kal v'chomer if he goes, the animal trespasses into the Rishus HaNizek and gores, should for sure be chayiv Chatzi Nezek. In Rishus HaRabim, you should have been more careful, but in your own property, for sure you should be chayiv Chatzi Nezek. But that's not the Kal v'chomer the Gemara makes. The Gemara makes the following Kal v'chomer. If an animal that gores in Rosh Hashanah is chayiv chatzi nezek, so when it gores in Rosh Hashanah nezek, it should be chayiv nezek shalem. It should be chayiv full nezek. What do you mean? Dayo! You can't say that it should be chayiv more. Dayo! No, but the Gemara says you can't say dayo over there, because what would dayo tell you? It should only be chayiv chatzi nezek in Rosh Hashanah nezek? The Chumash already tells me it's chayiv chatzi nezek. I don't need a dayo, I don't need a Kal v'chomer to teach me that. The whole Kal v'chomer is only there to teach me the next step, that you're chayiv nezek shalei. And then we're not limited by dayo. Comes along Prima Gadim and he says as follows. If by saying dayo, you wouldn't need the Kal v'chomer, but not because it's mefurish in the pasuk, but because I could have learned it from a gezerah shava, would you still not say dayo? Meaning, we say you don't apply dayo when the Kal v'chomer would be deemed unnecessary by applying dayo. What do you mean unnecessary? Unnecessary because it's a mefurish pasuk? Then for sure we won't apply dayo. What if the Kal v'chomer would have been deemed unnecessary because it would have been able to be learned from a gzeira shava? Whatever this din would have been able to be derived from a gzeira shava. Would you still say don't apply dayo? Says Prima Gadim, it depends how you understand gzeira shava. If gzeira shava is tarash b'chsav, then it's the same thing as mefurish b'kra, and you still would not apply dayo. But if gzeira shava is tarash b'al peh, then it's totally different than mefurish b'kra. Then you would apply dayo. Okay, as I mentioned, that one's a little bit of one of the more complicated ones. But he has one or two more. But that's I think we're going to close that topic over there. From tomorrow, we'll start getting into the inyanim of kiddushei bia and kiddushei shtar. Kiddushei bia is the bottom of Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara gets into kiddushei bia, how we know that you can be mekadesh nisha with bia, and kiddushei shtar is hey amud aleph. So that's what we'll get into that tomorrow.